You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
And good morning. This is Father John Cusick, and I'm the director of the Young Adult Ministry Office here in the Archdiocese of Chicago. And normally I'm here with who I affectionately call my boss, Dr. Kate DeVries, but she's on retreat today and this week. And so I'm not so much soloing our light show this morning, but I've got someone in the studio with me and someone else who's going to be with us on the telephone. And the three of us are sort of bonded together in a very special kind of a way for the rest of our lives. And I have a sneaking suspicion once we get into the nature of our show this morning that you will find and remember in your own lives people with whom you are bonded by the same experience. The director of Young Adult Ministry is the one responsible for the church's outreach to those in their 20s and 30s, both married and single. And in many ways, it's a significant time in life, and I'd like to begin, before we get into the heart of the matter today, what brings us together, and I can introduce my guest and dear friend, with a prayer. And the prayer might give us a sense of what we are going to be focusing on today and what we continue to focus on annually here in the United States of America. So let's begin this morning, the light show, with this prayer. God looked at everything he made, and he found it very good. Gracious God, there are moments, days, and experiences where the goodness of your creation is hard to see, clouded over by so much evil, hatred, and violence. As we recall and remember the frightening events that happened in our country and in your world on September 11, 2001, we ask for a renewal of our resolve to do good and to avoid evil. Help us never to give in to the forces of bitterness, revenge, and hatred. Fill us with the virtues to live peacefully, to act justly and to forgive, not condemn, those who do us harm. Your Son, the Lord Jesus, has told us that we are the light of the world. Even in life's darkest moments, may your love burn brightly from within us. Today we commend to your eternal life the victims of the hatred and violence of September 11, 2001. Gracious God, hold them close. We pray for those who still miss them and love them greatly. We pray for our enemies, especially those known as terrorists. May God's peace change their lives. Most especially, we pray for your creation, the earth, the nations of the world, and all your people. May all people come to see the goodness of the earth and act accordingly. We pray to you today through Christ our Lord. Amen. Today, we'd like to do some reminiscing, looking back, and some dreaming, looking forward, all built on the experience of September 11, 2001. At the end of this week, we will be commemorating the 8th anniversary of the horrors that affected our country in New York, Washington, and sadly over the skies and into the earth of Pennsylvania, and the many, many people who were affected and continue to be affected by that greatest of American tragedies. And my guess is it's one of those defining moments when we know where we were and who we were with. My mother, may she rest in peace, always remembered and told me where she was on a nice Sunday morning, December 7th, Pearl Harbor Day. and I can still see myself walking into the door of the seminary, coming from lunch on the afternoon of September 22, 1963, when I was a sophomore in college, and all of a sudden the intercom was all throughout the school, and it was announcing the shooting and the subsequent death of President Kennedy. I know where I was, I know the door handle I grabbed onto, and I know what happened those next couple days. Well, I'd like to welcome this morning someone with whom I am bonded because of September 11th, Eileen Bender. Eileen, good morning.
Good morning, Father.
How are you?
I'm great.
Good.
Good to see you.
Eileen and another friend, Scott Stevens, who is going to be joining us in a little while, we were having breakfast, correct?
We were.
On September 11th, it was about 7:30, quarter to 8 in the morning. Someone came by the table and said a plane has gone into the side of the World Trade Center. And I paid little attention to it because you'd think, well, that can happen, a private plane. Sadly, we know several years ago a private plane went into a building right off of the Hudson River. And you hate to hear those kind of things, but you never, ever in your wildest imagination figure that somebody would hijack a great big American jetliner and consciously aim it into the side of that building. And so while we were having breakfast and we were plotting and planning, because Eileen and her genius has put together a wonderful program to help disadvantaged kids in the city to get a quality Catholic education, and that's what brought us together. How can we raise more money? How can we get more sponsors? And here we were plotting and planning and dreaming about building a better world. Eileen and Scott Stevens, who's going to be with us, were graduates of the University of Notre Dame, and you came home from school with this dream.
I did. I actually was living in New York just prior to 9/11.
Okay.
And had thought that it could be started in Chicago. I was involved in a similar program in New York.
Sure.
And thought we could do it here. So you were actually instrumental in starting that because you plugged me into a network of people who could help us find students and help us find a Catholic high school to send them to. And we used to meet regularly for
That's
those
right.
plotting and planning
sure,
sessions.
Sure, plotting and planning. And prior to Eileen's going to New York, when she, in the early years after her graduation from the University of Notre Dame, she found her way to Old St. Patrick's Church, and I would see her at Sunday Mass along with two other gentlemen, Michael Haney and John Duffy, and they would all sit together and we would gab and chat, and those were exciting years. Here they were, fresh out of college, looking at different careers and possibilities. And on the morning of 9/11, Eileen and Scott, at that time, a couple 30-somethings, were looking at a variety of things in life, and all of life changed around that table.
Yeah.
For all of us,
I have to say it was incredibly surreal that morning, because my first thought was the same as yours, which was a small commuter plane of some kind had hit the World Trade Center, and people started gathering in the bar area of this restaurant,
yes,
watching the TV monitors.
Correct. Yeah.
And someone came by our table again and mm-hmm. said, "A second plane has just hit."
Right.
And we all just conversation completely stopped.
Absolutely.
And we knew it was bad.
It was something hit, and I can still sense the feeling inside of me. So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to reflect on the impact that 9/11 has had on our lives and on our faith. Eileen is a mother of two, a six-year-old and a four-year-old. Scott Stevens, who we're going to be contacting, has got a couple kids. And I'd like to have all of us reflect this morning on what has this taught us about life. What are life's lessons, perhaps almost unconsciously, that have altered the way we look at things since that day? I know there's a certain innocence that is no longer a part of America. We commented this morning, coming into the studio here at the Archdiocese of Chicago, about security. You never saw things with so many locked doors and passes and different ways you have to enter buildings. And so in many ways, life has really been changed for us. So we're going to take a break in just a minute. But before we do that, where were you? How has it impacted and influenced your life? We're going to ask you, if you so desire, to share that with us, and maybe in about 10 or so minutes, if you give us a call at 312 312-255-8408. 312-255-8408. And what are life's lessons? What did that tremendous day, as it left its impact in our minds, teach us and continue to shape us? You're listening to The Light Show. I'm Father John Cusick, and I'm with Eileen Bender, and we'll be right back.
Spirit, send us to shine, radiant with your glory.
Send us out, O Lord, today, that we might abide.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is written by our publisher, Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization, and you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities throughout Cook and Lake Counties.
As we celebrate the Year for Priests, look for stories about how we honor our priests, in the Pope's words, with gratitude for their work and witness of their life.
Visit our website at www.catholicnewworld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777.
Better than ever, subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. Cardinal George says, "It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection." There are 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries willing to help you during times of loss. Call 708-449-6100 for assistance. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Do you want to make a real difference in saving lives? Then join us for the Chicago Area 40 Days for Life prayer campaign. Chicago is one of 216 cities participating in this 40-day, 24-hour-a-day peaceful vigil outside abortion clinics nationwide. Last year, more than 20 babies and women were saved from abortion here in Chicago. Get involved. For more information, call the Respect Life office at 312-534-5355. That's 312-534-5355. Or go to our website at 40daysforlife.com/Chicago. That's 40daysforlife.com/Chicago. Get involved in saving lives through the power of prayer today.
We're back. This is Father John Cusick, and I'm joined in the studio with my friend Eileen Bender. And this is The Light Show. Once a month on the second Wednesday of the month, the Young Adult Ministry Office is privileged to take over these airwaves and from 9 o'clock till 10 o'clock in order to put together on Relevant Radio, 9:50 a.m., some wisdom and thoughts that really pertain to the work we do and to people who are influenced and affected by our faith and the world in which we live. And I believe, Eileen, we are now to be joined via the magic of radio and the magic of telephone and cell phones with the third part of our triumvirate on 9/11/01, Scott Stevens. Scott, good morning.
Good morning.
There he is.
Hi, Scoot.
Hi, how are you, Eileen?
There we go. We're getting these nicknames out here too, pal. And Scott, you're in New York, I understand.
I am. I'm in New York. I came in last night.
And there you are trying to earn a living for your family. And, Scott, we were just reflecting, I think, before the producer brought you up here, that on the morning of 9/11, the three of us were together, and Eileen was the one who brought us together, plotting and planning how she could continue to put together a program to help young people in our city get a better education through Catholic schools. And we were looking for more people and better ways to do it. And then all of a sudden, by about quarter to eight, between a quarter to eight and five after eight, the whole world changed. And there were the three of us. And I'll never forget a line that I think, Scott, it was you who used, and I've certainly used it in my preaching since then. The two of you were reflecting as 30-somethings that as a culture and as a generation, you never had a bad day. You've had bad days personally, we knew that, but that your generation was pretty much spared. It didn't have a basic war like Vietnam. It didn't have an economic downturn that we are now experiencing. It was at the end of the dot-comer bust, but at the same time, all of you were incredibly talented. And then all of a sudden, as Eileen mentioned, when the gentleman came by our table and said a second plane has gone into the World Trade Center, Scott, I'll never forget what you said to the two of us. I guess we're having our first bad day. And that sort of became a defining moment, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's emotional even, reflecting on that time.
Yeah, yeah. How did it influence you?
It influenced everything. I had a 3-year-old daughter at that point, and now a 4-year-old son, and it's changed every way I've looked at raising her tolerance for other people and other beliefs. And just how I wake up every day and, tell them that, I love them and that I'm proud of them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Particularly when I get on a plane or travel anywhere, because you never know when it's going to be the last time you see them.
Right. So there was sort of an innocence lost.
Completely.
Yeah. And Eileen, what about you? You've got a couple little kids.
I do. I also have a husband who travels regularly.
Okay.
And I can say, to Scott's point, that every day that he would, every Monday morning when he would get up and get on a plane, even in those early days after 9/11, when air travel was so scary,
Yeah. You
just have no, you had just an utter sense of a lack of control. And because of that, I just got really good at saying, God, I don't know what's going to happen on this trip. I don't mm-hmm. know if something's going to happened to Dan, and you learn to live with at some level of fear,
Yeah. But
you also, I think, and the lesson you try to pass on to your children is that you have to push through that fear
mm-hmm.
and continue to live. And if anything came out of 9/11, I think in terms of parenting and raising your children and the values you try to instill, it's that we live in an unsafe, very uncertain world,
Yeah. Never
felt as much as it is now. And you just try to teach your children to embrace the good
right.
and not live lives of fear.
I think, Scott and Eileen, for me, you experienced that day the real presence of evil in a world. It just hung out there. I mean, I began to say to myself, how could anybody do this? It was such a horrific thing to take the lives of so many innocent people. And yet the challenge for me, and I'd like to throw this at both of you, is what does that say about good overcoming evil? What does that say about can we get beyond this? You find so many people who, sadly, they like to condemn things. And I'm not sure condemnation is an answer here, but how does your own life, where does your faith come into play here? Do we let that sort of have the last word, or do we believe that good can overcome?
Well, I think it can. John, I think it's a choice. It brought more. I don't think combination is the way to go. It's a more of a choice of what you're leaning towards and how you're going to be in the world. And, it really brought to my attention that this is not a dress rehearsal.
Yeah.
Everyone you're contacting every day, you're leading towards something, and it's just a matter of what that is, either the highest common denominator or the lowest common denominator. And I think we have a choice and a responsibility and to teach our kids to lead towards what we believe, because, frankly, I still have a tough time believing that anyone would take people's lives in that manner.
Yeah.
So it's made me a lot more conscious that there are other people that think differently than me and my family, and it's our responsibility to impact the world in a good way as much as we possibly can. And then I hope, I don't know, but I hope good can overcome evil.
Right.
But
right.
Just by my actions towards good, not to demonize evil.
Correct. But that we are the ones responsible for pouring good into the world.
Yeah, and if we pour enough in it,
yeah,
we may drown out the evil.
Right.
I think everyone has very vivid memories of how we all witnessed an uncommon outpouring of good in the days following 9/11.
Yeah.
I mean, there were stories from every corner of this country where you just saw people doing things that you never thought that they would do in trying to connect and restore some sense of goodness
and
in
to
the world.
Overcome evil.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We're going to, Scott, can you stay with us for another 10 minutes? We need to go to a break,
definitely.
But if you would stay with us, this is good, and we'll keep this conversation going. This is Father John Cusick, and this is the Light Show on Relevant Radio, 9:50 a.m., and we're with Scott Stevens and Eileen Bender, and the three of us connected forever in this world to being together on September 11, 2001. We'll be right back.
Have you wondered why Christians, Jews, and Muslims engage in interreligious dialogue? On Tuesday, May 5th at 6 p.m., attend the 3rd Annual Abrahamic Faiths Intersections on Interreligious Dialogue program for the answer to this question. The panel includes Dr. Elizabeth Jeep, Associate Director of the Siena Center of Dominican University, Rabbi Asher Lopatin of Anshe Shalom B'nai Israel Congregation, and Enamel Haq, Adjunct Professor at Catholic Theological Union and Elmhurst College. The date again is Tuesday, May 5th at 6 p.m. at the DePaul University Art Museum, 2350 North Kenmore in Chicago. It is sponsored by three offices of DePaul University and the Archdiocese of Chicago's Office for Ecumenical and Interreligious Affairs. Please call 312-362-6872 or email diversitymatters@depaul.edu for more information. We hope to see you there.
Time now for a Catholic Festival of Faith news update.
Families will be in the forefront at this fall's Catholic Festival of Faith with several activities designed to help parents and children celebrate their Catholic faith together. The festival is scheduled for Friday and Saturday, October 16th and 17th at the Stevens Convention Center in Rosemont. Get more information and register at www.catholicfest.org.
Stay tuned to Relevant Radio for more Catholic Festival of Faith news updates.
When was the last time you spoke with your neighbors? How are they holding up in these current hard economic times? People in your neighborhood, even the person living right next door, might be struggling. It could be a few late mortgage payments, a food shortage, or even problems with substance abuse or domestic violence. At Catholic Charities, your neighbors are in our care. We work to feed, clothe, counsel, and shelter anyone in need. Consider donating to our Neighbors in Need Fund. Visit us at CatholicCharities.net or call 312-655-7525.
Spirit, send us to shine, radiant with your glory.
Send us out, O Lord, today.
Welcome back. This is Father John Cusick, and on my left is Eileen Bender, and in my ears is Scott Stevens on the telephone with us from the Big Apple in New York, and the three of us we're together having breakfast on the morning of 9/11/2001, and we'll always remember where we were. And we are not so much reminiscing about that moment that's burned into our minds, but we're really trying to see what lessons came of that. And as we went to a break, Scott, Eileen was saying that she witnessed just an amazing amount of good in the days that followed from all over and people and a number of different things. When you went away from that breakfast that morning, what was racing through you, and where did life take you after that?
Well, I went home to find my relatives on the East Coast that were hard to find.
Wow.
Because, and I didn't, we didn't know where they were.
Yeah.
And I actually, our building was evacuated because our building was next to the Sears Tower, so they thought that was a target.
Yeah.
So the first several hours was simply trying to find my relatives, and then thereafter, just being with my family and trying to take it all in and digest what's just happened. Now I was going on a spiritual pilgrimage 9 days later.
Wow!
So I went into the airport when there was a group of 26 of us. We were the only people in the airport.
Unbelievable! In the United States of America.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I can't remember where we went that year. It might have been Italy, but boy, the outpouring of love, not only in the United States, but of an American traveling overseas.
Yeah.
You know, 2 weeks past of that tragedy was simply breathtaking.
I've heard that from so many people who were in different countries and encountered an American and basically embraced them in support and in love. And what a powerful thing. That was just, it was an amazing. I had, when I left the two of you that morning, I went back to the Young Adult Ministry office, which is located in the facilities of Old St. Patrick's Church, and it was a Tuesday. And on Tuesdays, I have the 7 a.m. Mass, and I also have the 12:10 Mass for those who work downtown. And the contrast between the same worship service, not only at two different times of the day, but now at two different times of life, was unbelievable. I remember walking out for the 12:10 Mass, Scott, and the first thing that assaulted my eyes is that not only was every seat taken, but every possible standing place was taken. And I was told that they had run wires down to the basement to hook up the sound system to the church hall, where another 500 people were standing. And it was a moment. It was a moment where somehow, when faith says what you see is not what you get, but you need to find something more, you could see it in the faces of people looking for something more than what had gripped them.
No question. And I also think that we just needed, there was in that day in particular, nobody knew what other planes were going to fly into other, I mean, nobody
exactly.
knew anything.
Right.
And because there was so much uncertainty, I think there was just a real primal need on the part of people to get to a place they thought was safe,
right,
where they could be with other people mm-hmm. also trying to figure out what the heck had just happened.
Sure. And so, Scott, you call your family looking for them. Are they safe? Can I connect with them? People, as they evacuated the loop had to be evacuated by 2:00 that afternoon. Old St. Patrick's Church is on the west edge of the loop between the two train stations, Union Station and Northwestern. People came to a safe place. They came to a place where they could listen to the Word of God, where they could find some comfort and solace, not just in religious ritual, but standing literally shoulder to shoulder with so many people looking for the same thing. And it was amazing because it seemed to me prior to that morning, and I'll see what you guys think of this, there really was not a lot of social uncertainty. There's always personal uncertainty because we don't know where life's going to take us. But we had sort of a confident era, and as you guys said to me that day, we never had a bad day. There was a confidence in America, and all of a sudden, that just sort of went away. Scott?
It was replaced by fear.
Yeah,
I mean,
fear.
It was
fear of the unknown.
Fear of the unknown.
Yeah.
Well, and a general unconsciousness of, I mean, there was also with that good times, but a rat race. I mean, I think 9/11 was a call to love.
Yeah.
At least it was to me.
Yeah, and talk a little bit more about that.
Well, to step back and say, well, what's important here?
There you go. Okay.
And you know, we were sitting at that breakfast to say we're very fortunate. Let's extend that fortune to others. And part of that fortune was being caught up in the everyday rat race when you forget the important things in life.
Okay.
Or I tend to. I can't speak for others. But I'll tell you what, 9/11 still hits me. Not only on the anniversary, but regularly throughout the year, when you think about, you know, what you can lose and what you have, and what my responsibility is to nurture that,
yeah.
To let them know, to express, to be heard, to live life to the fullest, because you, frankly, don't know where you're going to be the next day.
Exactly. Yeah, we became very fragile. I'll tell you a reflection that I had personally is never when it took a little while to sort out, obviously, you know, what had happened. And, you know, what we began to hear was an adjective that used to be a noun attached to the word terrorists. And they began to use the word Muslim terrorists. And the hard thing for me is to see religion brought in as a vehicle of violence and a vehicle of death. And I began to see the negative reaction to people who were of the Muslim faith, because we tend to paint with a broad brush that everybody became suspect. But the hard thing for me was, and I'm old enough to remember when I used to serve Mass at Little Flower at 80th and Wood, after Mass on Sunday, we would kneel on the steps of the sanctuary and we would pray for the conversion of Russia. And we would say our prayers for the conversion of Russia because we knew that they were the godless atheists who were going to try to take over our country. And when I was just the littlest of boys, and I was born at the end of World War II in 1945, some of your earliest memories were of Nazis and how horrible they were and the pain they inflicted on the world. But in all my years, and here I was, a Catholic priest of so many years already, did I ever think that the enemy to us would be people who reportedly had a deep faith in God? It made no sense to me. What it caused me to do personally was to do my own personal reflection. Can there be violence in God? And I had to come to terms with the fact there is no violence in God. The God I worship is a God who pours love and peace in the world. And that was huge for me. It just scared me that anybody could inflict evil in the name of God. And I still find that as a problem. But that was new to me. That was a new revelation for me. So,
I think one of the things that really came home to roost after 9/11 was the realization that there were significant parts of the world that didn't like us as a country.
Yeah.
And I remember being kind of surprised by that, because I always saw America as a country that sent millions and billions of dollars of aid to other countries who were in need. And, you know, when you look at the response of this country when there are worldwide crises, it's been huge. And so to realize that people didn't like us just because of what we stood for was very disconcerting to me.
Well, and I think it also, and I know, Scott, where you are with it, it also, I think, maybe began a time where we had to, as a country, and we still should do this, do a gut check on what do we promote around the world.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, so much of what we promote is on a television screen or on a movie screen. And is that the America that I believe in? I don't think it is. But yet, that's what is perceived. And when you heard some of the reflections that came out of other parts of the world, we do not want to be polluted by some of this form of the American success or the American dream. And how do you stop that? Unless, you, as you said, Scott, we live for a higher value and we tell our children there's something greater. I don't know.
I think media is a tough component of beliefs.
It is.
It's unfortunate. I mean, I'll tell you a perfect example. I was in Israel. I was at the Wailing Wall, or I was in the Garden of Gethsemane when Sharon took the mountain and the violence broke out, which eventually led to 9/11.
Wow.
When I came into the country, it was peaceful. The night before, the Arabs and the Jews were working in concert around economy in Old Jerusalem. The next day, it was empty.
Wow.
My point is that they, as people, did not have a problem with each other. But as a group, media, beliefs that are projected, they do.
Okay.
And so I think, you know, I'm reflecting on what you said about God is only love.
Right.
And you know, that's interesting. I want to believe that wholeheartedly. And then we are people that have hate in our hearts, and that troubles me.
And I think the thing that other thing, and Eileen, see where you are with this, that I've really come to discover in that is that I became much more sensitive to a world of pluralism. Everybody's not like us, and everybody's not our religion, and everybody's not our values. But the amazing thing is if you can go face-to-face with people, then you see the common level of humanity, and that's what's really shared. And I think so often there's people who want to keep us apart, the politics of life or whatever it is. And yet the closer we can come to those who are different than us, the more we begin to see we do have a common humanity. We may be different in the way we worship. We may be different in the way we dress, some of our outlooks. But I can't imagine too many people who want to say, I want to teach my kids to hate in this world. That's a common value that comes from God, if you call God Yahweh or Allah or God or Jesus or whatever it is. So I think I learned some common values as well because of this great tragedy.
Mm-hmm. I also think that, and we can cross over after the break and talk about this a little bit more, but you really have to look to your own immediate backyard and really focus on the messages you send your children about pluralism.
Yeah, and respect.
And respect.
Scott, we're going to have to go to a break, and we're going to let you go so that you can earn money to keep your kids in the lifestyle to which they become accustomed.
Thank you. I just want to share something with you. I had the privilege of flying in to New York last night, and on our plane, we were carrying the two flags of 9/11.
Oh, wow.
The one of the tower that came down and was shredded, and the one that they firemen put up the next day. They were both shipped to Kansas, where it was a stage five tornado that took down a community in Kansas, and that community united and patched the flags.
Wow!
And then sent them back to New York. So they made an announcement on the plane, and it was really a moving moment.
Yeah, it brings it all back, doesn't it?
Instantly.
Great.
And, one good thing, if there could be, of 9/11 is that it forged my relationship with you two.
And it forged our relationship, I think, with the values of our faith, the way we try to live our lives, and for the two of you passing that on now with your spouses to the next generation. That's key. Scott, thank you. Love to Jen and the kids, and we'll be in touch.
Bye-bye. Bye,
okay.
Bye, Scoot.
Okay, let's take a break, and we'll be right back.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son isn't a number. The student-teacher ratio is 18-1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
You're invited to attend an evangelization workshop, Learning to Labor in the Vineyard, sponsored by Bishop Joseph Perry's office and the Office for Black Catholics on Saturday, September 19th at St. Rita High School at 7740 Southwestern Avenue. This promises to be a wonderful workshop for everyone who serves in church ministries, for all who want to share the good news. The facilitator is Deacon Alex Jones of the Archdiocese of Detroit. The day-long evangelization experience is free. You can register through your church community or contact the Office for Black Catholics at 312-534-8376. We hope to see you Saturday, September 19th at St. Rita High School. Call 312-534-8376 and become part of Learning to Labor in the Vineyard.
Thank you.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
And we're back. This is Father John Cusick, and with me is Eileen Bender. We just said goodbye to Scott Stevens. Eileen and Scott and I were together on the morning of 9/11/2001, plotting and planning to build a better world for disadvantaged children in the Archdiocese of Chicago through Eileen's dream and getting them a quality Catholic education when they got to the secondary level in high school. And we're going to get to that in a minute. And it just sort of brought us back a little bit, and it gave us an opportunity this morning to reflect on the impact that that day has had on all of our lives. And I think for those at that day, 30-somethings and 20-somethings, it was one of those defining human moments that November 22nd, 1963 was for me, where Pearl Harbor Day was for my mom and dad, may they rest in peace, and other defining moments that may have been a part of your own lives. It's what teaches us a little bit, Eileen, about some of the things that are really of a value. We can see clearly. I mean, it's pretty black and white in defining moments. You see evil, and then you find good. For those of you, you might want to know this, that these radio shows, we upload these to the Young Adult Ministry website. So if this might be of value to share with somebody to do their own reflecting on this anniversary of September 11th and the way it changed our lives, our country, and amazingly and frighteningly, how it's changed our world. You can find this if you give us about 48 hours. It'll be on our website, and that's at www.yamchicago.org. And you click on, and you roam around a little bit, and you'll see a lot of these radio shows and little description of each one. And you can download these if you wish to an MP3 player, or you can play them right off of your computer. If you're going to go out and exercise, download it and stick those earphones in and off you can go. If you're going to the gym and you want a little reflection, this would be a good way to do that. And you can go to a lot of the past shows that we've been able to do here at the studios of the Archdiocese of Chicago on Relevant Radio 950. Eileen, let's just leave this wide open for a second before we move into the wonderful program that you established. And then I'd like to share with our listeners today, both here on the radio and then those who have downloaded the show, on a very important thing that is coming up for us in October called the Catholic Festival of Faith. Any further thoughts as you look back on that day when we were together and the, my God, 8 years since then? You've got two kids now.
A lot has changed.
A lot has changed.
Over those years.
It has.
I think that as a nation, we would do well to revisit 9/11. I know there's a lot, you know, you rarely see images of 9/11 on television anymore.
Yeah, we were overdosed on it.
But in some ways, I wish we would still see them, because I feel like as a country, there's a tendency to lapse back into a sense of complacency. And I think that's too bad, because I think it was such a profound event in our history that we need to remember the critical life lessons, that life is short, that you really don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. So you have to really, you know, take that scriptural passage about the thief in the night coming when you don't, when you least expect it.
Right.
You really have to live your life that way.
And you know, the amazing thing when you talk about country, and when I think about the country in which we live and the religion that is ours, there was an innate coming together of people after 9/11. I mean, we really felt connected as a society, at least I did. And in 8 years since then, I just get very sad at the polarization that happens to us, both as a church and both as a country. It's let's take sides and let's no longer see ourselves as brothers and sisters, but if you agree with me, then you're okay, and if not, I'm going to make sure that I make it hard on you. And that is one of the great sadnesses, because I saw it otherwise after 9/11. I saw packed churches. I saw people rising like cream to the top. I saw good being done. As Scott mentioned, traveling, all of a sudden you were embraced by others who did not even know who you were, but they know where you were from. And I always see that as signs of the activity, or using Jesus' language, of the kingdom of God. You see signs of what can be. Sadly, they didn't last long, and that's what gets me sad. And not only did they not last long, I think, I don't know, maybe it's just I'm getting old, that we're much more polarized than we were before 9/11, and I'm sad about that.
And it's odd, isn't it, that you would really think after an event like that, that some of the bickering that goes on and about, especially on the political landscape, we'd figure out a better way. But I'm not sure what we've learned in that regard, because it seems ugly and it seems highly partisan.
And it seems to me that one of the lessons of Christ is, you know, a fundamental respect for people, even though with those with whom we disagree. That's not the enemy. I thought we rose above that for a little while, and I think we really, really did. I remember engaging in some pretty powerful conversations, both because of the fear that 9/11 provoked in a lot of people. I remember there's a gentleman quite prominent in Chicago, and he at that time was the chairman of a company. And his New York office was located in the World Trade Center. And his company lost 250 young adults, young women and men, and early in their careers. And I remember talking to him here in Chicago and discovered that he personally called every family to extend condolences and sympathy. And here's a man who many people thought was just above the ordinary worker. And yet, here's one who broke that stereotype and literally reached out and personally contacted 250 families who lost a son or daughter, husband, wife, brother, sister. And that, to me, is power. That's healing. That's communion. And what a world that that can remind us of. I just wish we could come back there.
Yeah,
and maybe that's the dream and the goal, and why I really wanted to invite you and Scott to be with us today, not just to look back, but to see what are the virtues and the values, folks, that touched our hearts so strongly around 9/11, and what has happened to them since then? Is there any way that we can retrieve? And I believe those virtues and values, those are our Catholic values. That's our faith. That's not our politics. That's the way humanity can live with one another in spite of some very serious differences, both in the world and differences among even people in our own faith. But can we somehow retrieve an experience of life we all felt, and somehow it's gone again? At least I think it's gone.
I think looking in your own backyard and trying to use the remembrance of 9/11, the anniversary that's coming up, as a way to try to do something in your own life that plants the seeds of God's love is really critically important. You can't change the world,
right?
Really, I think in the large cosmic sense, but you can change something in your own neighborhood or your own school or your own
In your own attitude towards other people. And so maybe the method of my madness on this show today is, let's do a gut check. Where can we rise to be our best self in the name of Jesus Christ? Where can we be the person who pours life into the world? Instead of cynicism, negativity, can we rise and say, in the name of God, my goal is to be a part of creation and to create a better world? That runs very strong in me, and I saw that in the world in which we lived. And sadly, today, I think that's taken a back seat to a lot of ideology. Not that that's not important, but I do think the values of Christ are what's lived out every day. And my guess is you got to pour those out in your kids. No one else is going to give it to them.
You do. And we're fortunate. We send one of our children to the local Catholic school where I live, and he gets a lot of the reinforcement that we try to instill in him at school. So he kind of gets it in both places. But it is, you have to tell your children that there is a greater reason
there's
to
a great,
live.
Right, there is. And we root that in God. Folks, we're going to take a break. But before we do, think about that. Where were you in terms of rising to your better sense of being alive? And can we retrieve some of that in God's name for the world in which we live today? We're going to take a break, and I want to hear about a program called Peak, and I want to share with all of you some wonderful things coming up in the Catholic Festival of Faith. This is Father John Cusick, The Light Show, and we return momentarily.
Are you a teen who's tired of peer pressure? Who feels bombarded daily by messages and isn't sure what to do? Do you want to know how to have happy and healthy relationships? Then come to the 5th annual Life Night Teen Rally on September 27th from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. at Holy Family Parish in Inverness. This rally will feature nationally renowned speaker Jason Evert, great music, mass, reconciliation, and much more. And it costs nothing. If you are a parent, this event is perfect for your 8th grade through high school sons or daughters. Again, join hundreds of teens from around Chicago on September 27th for the 5th annual Life Night Teen Rally. For more information and Jason Evert's full schedule of events in Chicago, please visit www.respectlifechicago.org or call 312-534-5355.
Sponsored by the Chastity Education Initiative of the Archdiocese of Chicago Respect Life Office.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
Catholic couples defy the odds and celebrate 50 years of marriage. The Jubilarians will tell us their secrets of success. Theology on Tap celebrates another successful season of the Summer Talk series. We'll take you to the wrap-up picnic, and we'll talk to Cardinal George about the heated debate over health care reform.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You, compelling television about your Archdiocese.
Hi, this is Father John Cusick. Welcome back for our last segment of this month's Light Show, and we've been focusing on September 11. I just received an email during the break, and someone said this is sort of a heavy topic today, and it is heavy, but it's one of those topics, September 11th, that has pulled all of us inside of ourselves to see it really tests our faith. It tests our mettle. And it really tests where we want to go with our lives. But the thing that joined us together, Eileen, on the morning of 9/11 at 7:30, before the world changed in front of our very eyes, is a dream that you had, which has become more than a dream. It's become a magnificent, magnificent program called Peak. And it's partnership and to educate and advance kids. And you had a dream. You still do. And tell us a little bit the Reader's Digest version of Peak and where it is today.
Peak started in 1997, believe it or not.
We're wow.
Really.
12 years.
I know. It's amazing that it's gone by that quickly. But the idea for the program was to provide academically average or slightly below average 8th graders with the chance to go to a really good quality Catholic high school with the aid of full tuition support and a mentor who would stay with them for those 4 years.
Wow, that's right.
And provide them with the emotional support and guidance that mm-hmm. oftentimes they don't get at home.
Mm-hmm.
The program in its first year put 10 kids into Holy Trinity High School, which is over in Wicker Park.
Wow.
And we still send all of our kids to Holy Trinity.
Holy Trinity, right off of Division.
Right off of
Division. Division in Milwaukee Avenue.
Yeah, in Ashland. Yeah.
Division Ashland, Milwaukee.
And the school has been a tremendous partner for us in helping these kids who actually look and feel a lot like the average Holy Trinity student. So
sure.
they really don't stand out that much. But right. we get a tremendous amount of social services support and infrastructure support to help run the program in a way that benefits the kids. So over time, since 1997, we've provided almost 200 kids with full tuition support, which
wow.
is about $25,000 a pop.
Wow.
Yeah, now. And that mentoring that is so critical. Our goal is to get the kids through high school. It's not necessarily to get them into college, but on average, 90% of our kids do seek some sort of post-high school educational experience.
Great. 200 kids are better off because you had a dream.
Many of us had a dream.
Right,
I know. There were a lot of people involved.
A lot of people involved. And I was able to connect you up with one of the great priests of the Archdiocese, and that's Father Tom Walsh.
Mm-hmm.
We affectionately called him in the seminary Too Tall Walsh.
And we still call him that today.
And we do. And as a matter of fact, he's been teaching at Holy Trinity.
Mm-hmm.
He was pastor on the west side for a number of years, and he's been very instrumental in working with you. And this is a great opportunity to thank you and so many people who are a part of PEAK, particularly the mentors, who take 4 years of their life and they hang out with a young person to give them that vision and that value and that education. And if people want to learn more about PEAK, where would they go?
They can go to our website, which is www.peakchicago.org. We do have our biggest fundraiser of the year coming up on September 25th
okay.
at the River East Arts Center.
Great.
And we'd love to have anyone who's interested in learning about the program come to the event and enjoy the stylistic tones of Lynn Jordan and the Shivers.
Wow.
It's a great night. It's the ninth time that we've thrown a fundraiser.
And on the 25th of September.
25th of September. It's a Friday night.
www.peak.org.
Peak Chicago.
Peak Chicago, I apologize.
.org.
So peakchicago.org. Terrific. And I would like to extend a wonderfully personal invitation to young adults to be a part of one of the great, great programs and significant events coming up in the Archdiocese of Chicago, and that is the Catholic Festival of Faith. This is going to be a gathering of Catholics of all ages in the Rosemont Convention Center, the Stevens Convention Center in Rosemont, and we're going to put out a special word for young adults to gather on Saturday, October 17th. That day will begin at 10 o'clock, and there's going to be a special opening event called In the Spotlight. It's a morning kickoff featuring short presentations on what faith and life are like for Catholic young adults in the Chicagoland area. There'll be workshops that focus on some of the key issues in the lives of those in their 20s and 30s. They've helped us shape those. Great place for people to network with other people. A wonderful exhibit hall. There's going to be time for prayer and spirituality. And then there'll be a weekend mass at 5 o'clock. It'll be an uplifting liturgical experience, bringing together all the people who have been a part of the Festival of Faith on that Saturday. And for those who wish to hang around, after that, there's an optional young adult dinner and party. There's an additional cost for that, and it's an opportunity for, and there's also a great evening plan for young adult married couples. Now, if you want to find out about it, why don't you go to www.catholicfest.org, and you'll get all the information, the schedule, the timing, the cost, and every kind of thing. That's it. We're out of here. And I want to thank you very much. And I want to thank Jim Dish for producing the show today. And for Eileen Bender for being with me. This brings back all kinds of fond memories. And Scott Stevens from pulling himself away from work for a little while in New York for sharing with us that powerful and sad time we were together. But it's maybe we're better people because of it. Be blessed in all you do. And we'll connect with you next month.